Well, good morning. Carl, Phil, you want to turn me down? I got some feedback here, please. I heard about a fellow who'd been married to his wife for 50 years, and the idea was that he said to her, you know, you've run out of words because you've been telling me off for years, and you tell me you're losing your mind. You've been losing it every time you told me in bits and pieces. That's why it's gone. She wasn't amused. But anyway, sorry about the bandage. I just cut myself here on the side of the door there. And actually, it was Tonga's fault because I went to greet him. He slapped me about the head and told me how nice he was to be back in Canada. So, speaking of Tonga, why don't you stand up and just have your whole family stand up? We're so glad to have you back. Okay, let's make introductions. Sheila, introduce all these young people with you. Rick, you're young. You're, you know. Yes, Tara, hi. Aw, everybody knows Roy. Yeah. Eva, nice to have you here. Welcome. Do you want to introduce all the lovely people that you brought today, Dorothy? Great to have you. Nice. And Crystal, it's nice to have you. And who's in the back there? The two of you. Teasing you. Hey, great to have you. And Carl, who's this lovely young lady beside you?
I've never met her before.
Never met her before? Judy, it's awfully nice to have you back. And I said to Bob on his way, and I said, it's a good day when Bob's here. So Bob and Cavell, it's nice to have you. Welcome back. Good to have you back. Donna, do you want to introduce who's beside you, please?
Sure.
I think so. Great to have you back. Nice to have you. Barry, Cheryl, it's nice to have you back too. And Jim and Grace, I see you brought old Weiner beside you there, your son-in-law. Show them what you got on your shirt. I think it's absolutely hilarious. Grumpy old rock star. And everybody else, you'll have to say hello after, okay? And we'll meet outside. And if we'll pretend it's PEI and take our masks off, what do you think? Just a thought. We can do it outside. Yeah, Barry's not going to take his mask off, so you're going to have to figure out who he is with just half a face, okay? Okay, a couple announcements. Monday, 2 o'clock prayer time here at the church. Saturday, 7 o'clock prayer time here at the church as well. And Thursday night, our study night at 7, okay? And we're running those right through the summer. A couple of birthdays. Andrea has her birthday this week on the 20th. Is there anybody else you know of having birthdays or anniversaries that we missed? Your birthday, Judy, is when? You're forgotten. Well, I'm sorry we missed it, but it's Tuesday, is it?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday? Oh, a week Tuesday. Okay, well, they'll announce that next Sunday, and you'll get double whammy on that one. Okay. All right, a couple of things for notes of prayer and praise, Phil. Maybe if we could put those up. We want prayer. Bob, give us a little update on what's happening to you the next 2.5 weeks for you. Okay, and where do you have to go for your treatments? Are you down to Mount Sinai or Sunnybrook? Okay. Are you there in all week, or are you driving back and forth? What's the plan look like? Do you know? Back and forth every day? 2 days a week. Okay, Cavell, we'll certainly be praying for you. You're going to get frequent driver points, you know, with your car. with all that driving. So, and speaking of Sunnybrook, Richard and Suzanne got back last night, or Friday night. They're back home, and they've got their family with them. And so they're really relieved to be through all that. Margaret, of course, is going to have some surgery. She's waiting for some test results, and I talked with her, and the surgery went very well, and now we're just waiting the results from that. Catherine DeBoer, of course, has varicose vein issues, and so you can appreciate the kind of pain she's in, so we'll pray for her today. And also, Donna, your sister Louise, do you want to give an update on the cast? Because that's miraculous. Mm-hmm. Marvelous.
Goes back 6 weeks, so
yes.
That's great because broken in two places below the knee.
Yeah. And you two leave when?
The 29th.
So we'll pray for you next for a month of jaunting around Eastern Seaboard.
Yes.
Right. How many of you are trying to go to other places? Have you seen the paperwork necessary to go? It's just unreal. So if you're thinking of going somewhere, apply early. Stay longer. All right? Okay. Any other things for prayer, by the way, before we go to notes of praise? Yes, Carl.
Just found out yesterday my younger brother, Terry, we prayed for him before, had a sarcoma on his leg. And he's already battling prostate cancer. Well, the other day he did an MRI and they found two spots on his brain.
Okay. All right. We'll pray for Terry for sure. Absolutely. Anything else for prayer this morning? Crystal? Yes, we want to pray for everybody in Barrie. I understand that there are over 40 homes that are unfit to live in. Is that correct? 60? And then, yes. Gail and Jane were talking. Gail, of course, is out in Airdrie, and she said the smoke is so thick coming across Calgary right now. In Lethbridge, they've got, what have they got? They've got crickets. Jane, when you're ready. In Lethbridge, what did she say they have? Cricket? Crickets? So, sorry, Nikki, what did you say? Just flip your mask down so I can hear you better. Wow. Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, anything else for prayer? Erin Gray? Yeah. Germany and where? Yeah, Belgium. Was it Belgium too? Yeah, that's... Okay, I don't know what you've got planned for the music, but I think we need to sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, because that's like about what we need to be praying today for. But anyway, yes. Okay, we'll pray that for that. Anything else? Yes.
Hannah is still having a trouble breathing. Not so bad, but
okay.
Short breath easily. And her dad will do surgery for shoulder on Tuesday.
Okay. So is your granddaughter still in the hospital, or is she home? Okay. 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 Thanks, May. So you're her dad. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Let's do some notes of praise. Okay. We mentioned Suzanne, and she's doing really well. We talked about Louise, and your friend Louise, too. She's doing really well, isn't she, from the shoulder surgery. Okay. We'll say that fast three times. Okay. Other notes of praise. You've all had a terrible week, nothing to be excited, no joy, no nothing. Kathy? Yeah. You mean you ran the summer Wasaga Beach Gauntlet there, Kathy, from Collingwood? Oh, bless the Lord. Anything else for Note of Praise? Well, we're going to pray for all you friends and visitors too today. We're glad you're here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, as we have this day together, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Sometimes we don't even know, but you're always working. You've got plans and purposes for our lives that are far bigger than we could ask or think. And Lord, sometimes we're going through a slogging time, and it seems like nothing is ever going to change. And so for those that are going through that, we think of Bob with his ongoing treatments and Hannah with her issues, her dad going with shoulder surgery. We pray for Judy today as she waits for hip replacement, and others that are having a hard time. Those that are dealing with issues related to the fires, those that are dealing with issues of loss of homes because of tornadoes, and those that are having issues because of flooding. And Lord, things are affecting this world in ways that are catching so many people off guard. My prayer is that in all of this, that Christians will shine, and they will be very supportive and helpful, prayerful, and mindful of where to help neighbors and friends. And Lord, as we're here today, we're very grateful to be able to worship in a building again. And Lord, I just pray for all our visitors today and those that are visiting in homes and friends in this area. Lord, thank you for life and for families, friendships, and all that makes up a part of our life. And Father, for those that are going to be traveling, that you would go before them and take them in safety to their destinations. And Lord, again, remind us that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so we operate in that premise of 2 Timothy 1:7 today, that our God is marching, our God is alive, our God is on his throne, and our God runs the universe. And Lord, if you're running the universe, we can rest in you. So bless our time for all the notes of praise and for all the prayer requests. Lord, you know everything about them. And so it's our privilege to just present them to you to see what you're going to do. Good reports are so exciting to hear, as we've even heard of today. And Lord, as we sing and worship you, I just pray that we'll sense your presence. And as always, we'll leave this place with more faith than when we walk through the door. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord. Irmgard and team. What's that? Sorry. Seriously? Oh, terrific. Did they all come up? Okay, just checking. That's fantastic. Are these part of the ones that you're working with?
Yeah.
Eva has a little Bible study, and these are all new Christians that are just...
Right on.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Eva.
We're all from different countries, not all, but a lot of us from different countries here. Like, we're from Germany. The Wormses have roots in the Netherlands. We have people here from India and all kinds of stuff. And you can be seated, but I want to see that you believe that he's got the whole...
Carl's sermon there from last week. I understand this is the theme phrase for the week, right on. Except when we were saying it was right on, man. Of course, now we're really old. I'm not even going there. So the question this morning is, who are you trying to impress? Oh, I forgot. I got to wait. All right. Okay. Are we all set? Through the storm, who's Lord of all? Remember that line this week. Through the storm. Anyway, who are we trying to impress? Or are you trying to impress anybody? I want to start by reading a scripture from Samuel 13, first letter in Samuel, and it's about King Saul. So you can see it on the screen in front of you, or you can read it in your Bible. Saul lived for 1 year and then became king. Now, he wasn't 1 year old when he became king. I just want you to be clear on that one. He lived in the land, and then he became king. And when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, he chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul at Michmash and the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent home, every man to his tent. Now, this is a war situation. Saul is preparing to go to battle. Jonathan had defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear," and all the Israel heard it, and that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become a stench to the Philistines. I keep forgetting. I get so excited about preaching, and my wife's waving her hands like a windmill trying to do the ESL. I'm sorry, dear. I'll apologize to you for the next week. I'm on probation now for a week. You know that, don't you? I'm on probation. Anyway, and the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots. Now get your head around that for a minute. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and troops, like the sand on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and they encamped at Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. And some of the Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilead, and all the people found him trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from Saul. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings," and he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet Samuel and greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Well, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, and the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, and I said, 'Now the Philistines have come against me at Gilgal and have not sought the favor, and I've not sought the favor of the Lord,' so I forced myself to do what? Offer a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Okay, so let's unpack this for a minute. There was about to be a battle. And Saul and Samuel had a discussion long before this battle array was set up. And Samuel said, "I am going to come and I'm going to have a burnt offering and pray over the nation and pray over the army that the Lord would what? Have victory. The Lord would be victorious because, you know, Samuel had an idea that when the Philistines and these different groups were going to attack, there were going to be hundreds and thousands of them. And he said, "Now listen, there's an order. God has an authority structure, and I'm going to come in 7 days, and I'm going to have a burnt offering sacrifice to the Lord, and we're all going to pray together." Okay, sounds like a plan. Saul sets out, gets set up. Gilgal is where he's got his main encampment with his leadership. And what happens? Day one passes, and day two passes. Day three, four, five, six, seven. What happens at day seven? The people are getting antsy. The people are getting impatient. "Where's Samuel? Where's Samuel? What are we waiting for? Let's get..." Have you ever been like that? Come on, let's get the show on the road. And there was a divine design And of course, by day seven, who did not arrive? Samuel, the prophet, who was going to do the praying and conduct the burnt offering, didn't arrive. So Saul decided, okay, I'll force myself. Now, he told that to Samuel. I think what was happening is he was succumbing to peer pressure because the people were getting antsy. The people were leaving him. And he thought, oh my goodness, I got to keep my authority intact. Who did he lose sight of? The fact the Lord was in charge, not him. How many times is it easy for us to start to take matters in our own hands because we forget who's in charge? This is not about you and I. Now, we've known people over the years that everything seems to be about them, to the point that I've actually said to one lady, I am going to get a t-shirt for you that says, this is not about you. I thought it was hilarious. She wasn't amused. But what happened was, Saul decided he was going to take authority in a divine sense when it was not his place. And what did Samuel say to him when he arrived and found that they'd already conducted the burnt offering? You've lost your position of responsibility. You knew what you were supposed to do, you knew what I was supposed to do, and you knew what the army would then do in response to the Lord's leading. How often do we take matters in our own hands and wonder why the Lord's not working? Could it be because since we've taken matters into our own hands, the Lord goes, oh, fine, you want to do that? Away you go. Go ahead. And then later on, a week later or 2 weeks later, we're whining and saying, oh, the Lord's not with me. I don't know why the Lord didn't help me. The Lord didn't help you because you stepped out of line. I stepped out of line with what the Lord was doing. Is that resonating with you, or is that just Saul's day? Now, Saul was not a stupid man. He was an intelligent man. But the reality is, and this is what I want to bring to your attention today, is peer pressure is not dead. Sometimes I think we think peer pressure is only when we're kids. But I don't know about you, I've got more peer pressure effects going on in my life now than I ever had when I was 12. And so I want to unpack that with you because the last thing you and I need is to lose God's approval and to have God's disappointment. I don't want to ever step out in front of the Lord and he says to me, John, what are you doing that for? I said, well, you know, I just thought I had to do it. And you know, I never asked you to do it. I never directed you to do that. So who had you do that? Well, you know, there was a lot of influences. You know, and it really is my wife's fault. Right. How many times do we blame our spouses? Or we blame our parents? Oh, it's the way they raised me. That's why. No. Every choice and every action we do ourselves. I don't like this one. He made me so angry I got cross and spit nickels. You got cross all by yourself. Nobody made you. But peer pressure is incredibly subtle. And what's interesting is it's and it being timeless. Look at John 12. And this is now John talking about the Pharisees. Now they're the religious leaders of the day that Jesus walked on the face of the earth. And so we have in John 12, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in Jesus. But for fear of the Pharisees, what? They did not confess their belief in Jesus. They would not be put out of synagogue, because they knew if they confessed that Jesus was the Lord, they would kick him out. They kicked him out. They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. What's the issue here for all these adult men? Jesus is the Savior, but I've acknowledged it publicly. I'll probably get kicked out of the synagogue, and the Pharisees will blacklist me. What do you think? Well, if I open my mouth and I say anything, I might lose my status in this particular group of people. They might not want me to be a part of it. And as John says, they love the approval of men more than the approval of God. And then Paul says in Galatians, the first letter to the Galatians in chapter 1, he says, am I now seeking the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Why is he saying that, do you think? Give me some feedback for a minute. Why would he say, well, then I wouldn't be a servant of Christ if I'm trying to please men? What do you think? Yeah, because if you're trying to please men, who are you listening to? You're going for their opinions. You're meeting with them. And what do you think your prayer life's going to be like? Well, why would I pray to the Lord? I've already got my ideas from other men. And don't we have this? Phone a friend? That whole $1 million game was phone a friend. Get an answer. Because you know what? They must know what's right. Now, that's not saying, the Lord's not saying we can't have wise counsel. But we have to always check when we're making decisions. Am I trying to please somebody? Or am I ultimately trying to please the Lord? Because if I'm not ultimately trying to please the Lord, because everything we do, we're going to be accountable for, and everything we do is as unto him. If we let opinions and other things come at us, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to compromise. Number two, we're not going to enjoy ourselves. And number three, we're going to try to avoid God because we know that we've been trying to avoid him. And then, of course, when he talks to us, we'll have all kinds of excuses. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, what's the next line? Not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Now he says to Timothy, in the second letter to Timothy, understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. Why? Because none of them are trying to please God. They're all trying to please themselves, and they're all trying to please one another, and they're all trying to gain stuff for themselves. If we're trying to please the Lord, how much of that is selfish or self-centeredness? Zero. If everything we do is to please the Lord, and that doesn't mean we're not still washing dishes or cutting the grass or peeling the carrots or, you know, putting out the garbage. I'm amazed at how many times the Lord uses putting out the garbage moment for my neighbor to come across the road and we end up having this amazing chat. But if I were to say to you, do you think I'm taking out the garbage to honor the Lord? You might look at me and go, really? But aren't we? Because doesn't God have timing in everything? Absolute timing in everything? I told you this story a while ago, and it bears repeating today. I chatted with a fella a number of years before, and this one morning I woke up and I thought, I wonder how he's doing. And I thought, I have no way of getting in contact with him. Didn't have a number. Doesn't live in Wasega Beach. But I prayed. I said, Lord, I just feel I need to talk to this fellow and see how he's doing. I just feel you're laying that on my mind to do that. But you have to make it work. Well, a few days went by, a few weeks went by, and then one day I was heading out to the superstore to get some groceries. It was about 11, 1130 in the morning. So I get to the front door and the phone rings. So I take my shoes off, and I went and answered the phone. Had a nice chat with that person on the phone, hung it up, went back to the back door to put my shoes back on, and the phone rang again. So I took my shoes off again. Now, I don't want you to get the impression I'm trying to please my wife. I'm trying to honor the Lord in everything I'm doing because that's what we've decided to do in our family, is to take our shoes off at the door before you walk through the house. So I went to the phone the second time. I go to the door, now after the second call, the phone rings a third time. Now I like talking to people, but I'm starting to think I'm not going to get to the superstore till tomorrow. I hang up the phone, get in the car, and I drive to superstore. I get out of the car, I walk into the superstore. Just as I'm walking in the front door, guess what I remembered? My bags were still in the car. Now I'm walking back to the car like this. I wasn't a Christian in any way, shape, or form. I didn't want to meet any Christians. I didn't want to say hello to anybody. I just looked at the flipping car over there, and I thought, I'm going to get the stupid bags because I'm saving 5 cents a bag. And I'm walking down the, and I step on the off the curb onto the driveway, and it's just, I'm looking. I look over to see if there's a car coming, and I see Canadian Tire, and guess who's walking out the door, Canadian Tire? The guy that I would prayed for weeks before. Well, I went flying across the road right through the stop sign, and I went over to him. I knew I had about a 20-second window by the time he got out the front door and got into his car and drove away. I got out there. I'm huffing and puffing. I'll call him Mel. I said, Mel, it's so nice to see you again. How are you doing? We had this lovely conversation. I felt such peace. Now I'm walking back to the car, and it dawns on me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, did you have me forget my bags on purpose? The Lord, in his incredible wisdom, knew that this fellow was coming into Wasaga Beach at a certain time, going to go to Canadian Tire, and then leave out the south end of town and go back to his hometown, and he needed to get me from my house up to Superstore so I could see him in the parking lot. And you say that the Lord's not in charge of everything? And it really hit me after that incident. If I'm really under the guidance of the Lord, can he not make miraculous timing possible? And you know, the interesting thing is I've never seen that fella in the last 5 years since that conversation. Never seen him since. Are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing men? Because when we please God, does he not make everything fit together? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's exciting and fun-filled. As most of you know, after our house is sold in September, we are moving into a two-bedroom condo at this part of town, so we're going to be closer to the church and everything. And so 2 weeks ago, I had this really strong leading to get to the condo, and I just had to get there. I walked in the door. There's water all over the floor. The pipes had burst. So called the landlord, and they came, and we had towels, and we mopped everything up, and they checked it. It had been some split underneath the kitchen sink, and we had some furniture there, but nothing was affected. So for the last 2 weeks, you know, everybody's been monitoring it. The landlord's put a dehumidifier in, and it looks like the floor will be okay in the living room, dining room, and everything. So last night, we felt, got to get to the condo again. We've got to drop some more things off. So here we were at the end of the day after a busy day, and we pull into the driveway, open the front door, and guess what? Flooded everywhere. The hot water tank tap had split wide open. So I'm thinking, man, if we had... Is the Lord not in charge? And then what makes it really interesting is after the first thing, I'd phoned several men in our church to see if they had any wet facts, and I found one lovely, helpful man who did. And so I phoned Phil last night as soon as the water... And you know, it's so crazy that you almost start laughing. I slopping around in this water, and I thought, we should install a diving board. We could take a diving board off the kitchen sink. That being said, I phoned Phil. I said, can I please borrow your wet vac? So we got in there sucking water. The landlord arrived with towels. The good news is we got it done in a third of the time. Got her all dried up and everything. Again, what is the Lord trying to do in a situation like that if we're trying to please him and not men? I have a feeling that this is part of an ongoing saga with the landlord and her husband. God's going to use this in some miraculous way because they're watching us in the midst of some incredibly stressful times. And so when we're seeking to please the Lord, sometimes the greatest moments when we have our witness is when we're going through stressful times and we're saying, Lord, I don't like what I'm going through, but my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. I don't know where this is going. I don't know when this is going to end. And I don't know when I'm going to get through this. But right now, Lord, I'm just slogging. Thank you. I don't want any of us to become wishy-washy Christians. We're living in a day that is highly, highly pressured. We don't know if we're going to have 4 or 5 more pandemics and, you know, have other inoculations or shut this down or open this up. Right now, I'm not sure. I think the restaurants are open, family. So what I'd suggest you do is after church, let's all flood Swiss Chalet and see what happens. I understand the Mandarin's going to be opening soon. I'm really excited about that. You're not? Okay. No, that's fine. But let's remember in all that we're doing, we want to please the Lord because the people around us need the Lord. And the people around us are going through a stress level that you and I will never understand because we have the Lord. What would it be like if we didn't have the Lord? My physiotherapist lost her mother about 3 months ago. She was killed crossing a road in Beamsville. And I went in for a physio treatment the next week, and I was asking her, how are you doing and things? And she goes, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. How true that is. Do we have the Lord? And so Philippians reminds us, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who, what? Works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So if eventually everybody's going to have to stand before the Lord and acknowledge he's the Lord, why would we want to please the Lord in all that we do so that when we stand before him, we automatically want to worship him? Because he's been so good. He's blessed us in so many ways. And then he goes on to say that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as what? Lights of in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So, family, here's my question. We know what the end result is going to be. Everybody's going to have to stand and acknowledge who the Lord is when this life is over. My question is, right now, who are you playing to? Who's your piper? Who are you playing to what piper? Are there people you want to please? Are there people you want to be on their good side because there might be some benefit to you? Or are you looking completely vertically and saying, Lord, my eyes are on you before anything horizontal? Because if we don't, I think we're all tempted to let the subtleties of influence affect us and suddenly get to the point, hey, what can I get out of this? Or, you know, what can I do? And I can maybe change some things. And then I think pretty soon we're into some kind of manipulation, one way or the other. Matthew says, and I conclude with this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Family, we're in this for the long haul. We're in this for the long haul, but I need you to do some serious thinking this summer. Am I playing up to people? Or is my number one priority to witness and please the Lord in all that I do, think, and say? And one day he's going to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, I don't think we often realize how much people subtly influence us. Whether it's what they have, or it's how they talk, or it's their influence or their position. And Lord, we have to acknowledge that there are times that we're actually sucking up to those people for one reason or another, and we're losing sight of what it means to please you in all things. And so, Father, I just commend this family, including myself, to you this day, that as we head into a new week, that you would remind us that we serve you, that we work for you, that we're your children, and you have first priority. So in what we do, and even how we interact with other people, in what we do, we want to honor you first. Lord, we don't want to get to the point where Saul had to make excuses to Samuel, and then literally he was pulled out of his position of authority because of his irresponsibility. And so, Lord, we acknowledge peer pressure is not dead. Peer pressure is very much alive, and people are manipulating things all around us. But, Lord, may we be able to say as this week unfolds, my eyes are on you. And you are the one I'm going to answer to at the end of my life. And so, Father, bless this family now in all that they do this week. And may they have a great peace that you love them, that you're working with them, and that they are listening to you as you guide them every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord. Oh, I think we need to end with that great song. I've decided to what? Follow Jesus. Let's stand. Let's sing it as we conclude this morning.
Gonna play that for us one more time just to get this crowd going out.